In a land of myth and a time of magic, the destiny of a great kingdom rests on the shoulders of a young boy. His name, Merlin.
Welcome back to Hypeable's Hype Podcast. This is our fourth special on this feed, and today we are going to be talking all about BBC's Merlin. Because why not?
Why the hell not?
I think we've all been feeling, well, we're always feeling a little nostalgic for Merlin and Arthur, but the feels have been quite potent the last couple weeks, so we thought it would be fun to celebrate the 7th anniversary of the show airing on BBC,
right,
and just kind of have fun with it. And for this special, we really, really wanted to get the fandom involved. So we're going to have like a different kind of vibe for how we're going to go about things. You'll hear us plugging a lot of people that were kind enough to write in with their own thoughts and stuff like that. So we hope that you enjoy it. But before we get started, just in case you're joining us for the first time, we do want to remind you about all of our contact information, kind of tell you a little bit about ourselves. Like I said, we are Hypeable's flagship podcast. And in general, we cover all aspects of entertainment news, from books and music to TV and movie news. So please feel free to join us for our regular show, which will also be airing sometime later on this week if you haven't checked us out yet. And if you want to get a hold of us and like write in to us about something that we comment on during our Merlin special, you can do that by tweeting us on Twitter. We are at twitter.com/hypeablehype. That is HYPABLEHYPE. You can also leave comments for us in the show notes on this page on Hypeable, especially if your comments are rather lengthy. And finally, we do have an Instagram account if you guys want to follow us over there. It's kind of lonely, but we will be putting up some new stuff soon. We are also at Hypeable Hype on Instagram, so we keep it nice and simple for you guys.
I feel like I need a break right now. I'm like, whoa.
Anyway, like, hold on. I'm getting to you guys. My name is Pamela, and I will be your host for this special. And with me this week, I have one of my other regular co-hosts on Hype, Selena. And we also have Donia, who has guest hosted with us a couple of times, and she also hosts Hero Hype, which is another one of Hypeable's podcasts. And Kyle will be joining us sometime later, hopefully.
There's no time for that, Donia. Just keep going.
Are you guys ready to talk about Merlin?
Yes, we are. Oh my God, let's do it.
So much coffee. I'm ready.
This is amazing. But this is so great, though, because I think that your enthusiasm just like perfectly encapsulates the feel of the show in general.
Yeah, she's basically Arthur to talk about. Right, come on.
I'm always ready to talk about Merlin. Are you guys kidding me? Merlin is like one of my favorite things.
But you know, it's nice that we have an excuse now because, as you said, it's been 7 years since the premiere, like on September 20th, which is crazy and it's a magic number. So we thought,
Yeah, it's like, it's so weird to think that so much time has passed and like, then you think about like the history of the show and you're just like, you never really thought it was going to end up being like it would have resonated with fans so much, because it's been 7 years since the show premiered on BBC. And then it's been 3 years since the finale in December of 2012. And we're still talking about the show. And I know that we're not alone. So let's like get started on that, because I feel like shows come and go all the time. But what is it about Merlin for you ladies that makes the series so hard to let go of? And like, why do you think we're all still talking about it now?
Well, for me, I think obviously the show itself, like while it was going on, had a huge following. But I honestly think, and I know we'll get into this, I think that the finale is a big reason why we're all still so hung up about it as we are, because it's kind of like one of those relationships where you never really got closure. You know what I mean? Like it was so brilliantly done because it was so heartbreaking, but it still left you going, but wait, what now? So I feel like, you know, we have all the epicness of the show itself and the silliness and the just in general, them having a good time. And then you had the finale, which just broke all of our hearts. And you have the sort of sense that something else is coming, even though it's not, it still feels like there's a missing gap that we're still waiting. Hashtag still waiting. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, Selena, I think you're totally right. I mean, like, we have many a times on Hypeable referred to Merlin as, like, the ex-boyfriend you can't get over, and mm-hmm. it totally fits. But Donya, I'm curious to hear what you think, because I don't think we've ever talked about Merlin together. So you're like my new Merlin friend. It's great.
Yeah, I was a massive, massive Merlin fan, like, when the show was originally on the air, like, to the point where I went to, like, the first ever, like, appearance that they ever did at a convention and stuff.
Oh, did so, you? I never knew that.
Yeah. Yeah, so when they did their first, like, massive panel at MCM Comic Con in London, mm-hmm. I was there. I was on the front row.
Wow. That's so awesome.
I was like, I got up so early for that, guys. It was crazy. Early in the night, even got up to record this podcast.
Well, now we know where your loyalties lie.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny with me and Danya, because we kind of spoke about this at some other point on one of the other podcasts, yeah. but we were both in Cardiff at the same time while yeah. the guys were shooting Merlin, yeah. and it's just such a weird... We never knew.
Nope.
We ran into the Merlin actors, but not each other.
Yep. Well, who knows?
Or maybe you did.
We probably did, yeah.
Didn't
we
know just didn't know.
Yeah. It's really, really weird. Like, we both got, like, separate stories of running into the guys.
Yeah.
And just,
yeah.
Yeah. And never knew. Never knew each other, which is stupid. And now we're really, really good friends, and we live too far away from each other.
Aww.
And I'm kind of like the
way
Merlin
far
cast.
Away from both of you.
Yeah, you do.
Aww. All the way over here in California.
So but, you say that, but I've met you in person.
Yeah, I've met you in person right, too, and we haven't met each other.
Right. By pure happenstance, Selena happened to be in San Francisco once upon a time, and it was fabulous.
Anyway, Merlin
now we've got like the love fest out of the way, but like both of you guys brought up the finale, so let's talk a little bit about that, because
start with the ending. It's what everyone
I mean, like, they say it's best to start at the beginning, but I really think in this case we need to start with the finale, because it hit so many people right in the feels,
and
so
it was Christmas, and like it was Christmas. I still can't get over. I feel so betrayed. They just ruined that Christmas for me.
But this is British TV.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to say.
But I'm not used to that kind of madness.
Right.
We just have cartoons.
British TV Christmas specials or British kids, like, TV from when I was younger, like, everyone died.
So that's so interesting.
It's a Wonderful Life is, like, the epitome of British Christmas is what you're saying.
Pretty much. I mean, if you watch any kind of Christmas special... Like, you're almost guaranteed one person is going to die.
That's so interesting, because here we, like, have Christmas calendars where kids save Christmas and Santa Claus. Different cultures there.
No, everyone dies at Christmas.
Santa Claus dies at Christmas.
Jeez, we should have seen it coming. You guys should have, well, I guess you did kind of warn us, but we were just, you know.
In denial.
We were in denial. I think even Selena and I were in denial at first. We watched it together. Do you remember?
Yeah, I do remember that.
We watched it together over, like, Skype or something.
Yes. And we were just, like, all capping, like, it's so beautiful.
And then we were like, but now
but
we're
wait.
Crying because it's like a hangover. Like, you had too much alcohol.
Yeah.
And then you woke up and the aftermath was terrible. I do want to know, like, I mean, is it still, like, does it still hit you guys the same way now that we're 3 years away from it? Like, is it easier to digest?
Well, I was going to say, and I'll let Danya get into her feels, but I was going to say, like, for me, I think one of the reasons that Merlin is so, like, I still want to talk about it is because it's one of the very few fandoms that I have legitimately, like, because, you know, you guys know me, I'm Danish, I'm, like, emotionally unavailable, and like, there's very few shit, like, I'm a fan of stuff, but I'm not a fan to the extent that I'll cry about it, or that I'll, like, get super emotionally attached to it. But in the case of Merlin, I think, until the finale, it was just another show that I liked, and I enjoyed watching it, and I enjoyed talking about it, and I enjoyed theorizing about it. But then the finale happened, and it was like, this makes me feel something in my cold little heart. No, I think that's why, like, even now, I don't have, like, I'm distanced from it. You know, I'm not, like, having, like, intense emotional reactions to it or anything, but I still remember it every once in a while. I'm like, Jesus, that really happened. Like, they really broke our hearts, like, so spectacularly. And I'm like, I half blame them, the showrunners now, like Julian Murphy and...
Capps, isn't it?
Capps. Capps.
Yeah, yeah, the Julians, basically. I'm both, like, sort of feeling like they are, like, they did this on purpose and, like, they're manipulating us. And on the other hand, I'm like, that is the most brilliant thing. Like, I have so much respect just from a storytelling standpoint of what that finale accomplished and what it made me feel, which is something I maybe only had with Harry Potter and Buffy. You know what I mean? Like, there's so few things that, and such a little stupid show where they have, like, burping jokes and stuff. Like, it just... It's a lot of very extremes in that show, and they did it so well.
So that's a very good point, because I think that, like, we'll sorry, guys, I had too much coffee, but we all have, I believe, studied Arthurian legend. Like, I know I studied it in school, like, even before I was a fan of the show. And I think, like, coming from Cardiff yourself, it's probably very ingrained in your Donia. So, like how did we not see this coming? Because I talked about this a lot to people that I meet that are into the show and stuff, and a lot of them say that it's because it was a retelling. They didn't think they were actually going to kill Arthur. But in every other manifestation of Arthurian legend, Arthur has to die.
It wasn't that we didn't think it was a possibility. I think because I remember when we did the month the show ended, we did on Hyperbole, we did this month of Merlin celebration where we had all those theory posts and meta posts and all those things. And I think we sort of outlined the theories for the finale, and we had this whole thing about Arthur and the different ways he could die and the different ways he could survive. And we sort of concluded that, well, in the Arthurian legends, he dies. So if this show wants to surprise us, he's not going to die, like, because we didn't expect that the emotional resonance of the finale would be enough. You know, we were thinking, well, they're going to have to end the show in a way that we don't see coming. So for that to happen, they have to have him survive. I had this whole crack theory where actually there was another Arthur, or like Gwen was pregnant and her son was Arthur, and I don't know, just crazy things like that.
I remember this.
in hindsight, I feel like that's why we sort of had this hope, or this, like, we were in denial and saying, well, they can't kill him because it would be so obvious. And I think what they did, and this is why they're such brilliant storytellers and why, like, the Julians deserve all the respect, is because they did exactly what they had to do. Like, they did exactly what we were expecting, but in a way we weren't expecting. And they gave it it packed such an emotional punch that the actual quote-unquote plot twist of the death wasn't the thing. The thing was the emotion. And I think that's why a lot of shows get wrong, is that they think it's enough to shock the audience. Oh, let's kill this character and then we'll get ratings. And it just feels so empty because it doesn't have a consequence. But Merlin, it wasn't the fact that Arthur died. It was how he died, and it was the repercussions of that for everyone.
No, let's be honest. It's the fact that Merlin wandered the world alone.
And he's still alone. Without
before
that.
Before we get into that, Donia, you've been, like, so quiet over there. I feel like your ears are violated or something, or you're just, like, overcome with emotion. So I need to know what you think about all this.
Well, I am probably in the camp of people who really like the finale. I don't know if that's, like,
love the finale.
Yeah. If it's like a cultural thing of, like, me expecting the death. Like, I was like, oh, he's going to die. And everyone was like, what? I was like, yeah, no, it's a British TV program at Christmas. He's going to die. Like, if you want anything to tell you anything about kids shows in the UK, watch the first episode of The Animals of Farthing Wood, and that'll tell you
everything.
Oh no,
it's going to kill the animals, isn't it?
Yeah, it'll tell you everything that you need to know about the UK and kids shows and ripping your emotions out through your chest. But yeah, I don't know. The finale still gets me today. Like, yeah, so badly. Like, I still cry over it. And
do you rewatch it?
Yeah.
Do you? Because
I've watched it twice, and twice was too many times.
Me too. That's how I feel too. Like, I don't want to put myself through.
The thing is, I'll rewatch everything.
Yeah, no, I can't do it. I can't even, like, oh my God, no. I watched it once because I had never seen it, and then, like, twice because Selena and I were still doing our postmortems for Hypeable and stuff about all that. And
But isn't this great, though? I mean, that's what I think we keep coming back to, just thinking, well, this is a TV show, but it, like, legitimately, and it's not just us. I mean, we're talking, hopefully, Merlin fans, you know, we've sort of been reaching out to them on Twitter and Tumblr and stuff because the community is still so active out there, and everyone's just kind of like still in that mindset. And again, I think it comes back to the lack of closure as well, but also just the fact that we got this. Because when you, again, like Danya said, like you sort of, you did see it coming, even though you might not want to admit it to yourself, but just the way it happened and the emotional depth that the show allowed itself to achieve and the actors allowed themselves to achieve, like there was nothing held back. And I think, and not just Merlin and Arthur, because that's sort of what we all sort of think of immediately, but Morgana and Mordred and Gwen and Gaius and all these incredible resonating performances and pieces of writing, that I think that's what makes it one of the best finales of all time. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think there's any question how amazing it is. And I'm probably never going to watch it again, but it was amazing.
It is really interesting to watch it when you've had a little bit of distance. Mm, like, it's... Mm-hmm. I recently rewatched the entire series, and I'm that person that I can't skip any episodes, whether I, like them.
Not even the troll
completely
one.
Or not. No. I watched every single one.
You're a tuber.
But it is really interesting to watch once you've had some distance, because for me, I still felt as emotionally invested, and it hit me like it hit me just as hard as the first time I watched it.
That's a mark of a good show, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's interesting you say that, because I feel like depending on just how the finale made you feel, like there were a lot of visceral reactions, good or bad, from the fandom. But now that we have been distanced a little bit from the finale, is there anything that you ladies would have liked them to have done differently? Or do you feel like it was just well done and it had done justice to the characters?
I mean, I'm wary of asking for anything that they didn't give us, because I think there was a beauty in the incompleteness of it, you know? I mean, we're going to get into this a little bit later, but the lack of closure for me was why it ruined my Christmas. Like, it wasn't because of the death. It was because I was left with, like, but, you know, what now? And the fact that they never actually did a Christmas special, and they never actually did, like, a mini reunion kind of episode or anything, it just means that we were left not knowing what happened to Gwen. We were left not knowing what happened to the kingdom. We were left not knowing what happened to Merlin. We were left not knowing if he was permanently old, or if he could change back, or if Arthur ever came back. And but again, at the same time, I don't really want too many loose ends wrapped up. I mean, it's the whole Pottermore thing. Like you know, it's beauty lies in its imperfection, if that makes sense.
Yeah, for me, going off the back of that, I kind of like that they didn't answer every single question. They gave you very brief glimpses of the characters at the end, but that's it. They didn't really build on top of that. They didn't tell you everything that happened to them. Like, you obviously got the one glimpse of Merlin in the future. But that's it. And then
that was like straight out of a fanfic. I loved it, though.
Yeah, that actually. And also, let me just say that I predicted that in a strange way in one of our Hypeable articles too, and I regret it, because that's the part that hurt me the most. But I'll get into that later. So go on, Danya, sorry to interrupt you.
That's okay. I mean, that's the thing that I like, because it means that everyone can have their own idea of how things come back together. Like, that's what helps keep the fandom alive, because there's no right and there's no wrong answer. Everyone gets to have their own idea on the story, and everyone has a different idea. So you get all of these amazing, amazing fan fictions and fan arts, and just like, and it's continuously going, like, this is the fan, like, unlike Arthur, this is the fandom that will never die.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Oh, that's so cute.
You know, I do have one thing to say before we get into all that stuff, which was I just thought of it, which was actually there's one thing that, and because I feel like, you know, we're so positive about Merlin, and we should be, but there is one thing that annoys the hell out of me. Morgana, like her whole arc, how that was wrapped up. I do think if there was anything that I could, you know, by the power of me, could change, would be to give her some kind of more... I don't know. I just feel like they did her character a bit of a disservice.
And, you know, it's funny you mentioned that because we did get somebody who wrote in on Tumblr to us. Their username is Deducing Seducing Same Thing. And they posed a question about Morgana and asked if we felt like her turn to the dark side was, like, her own doing, or did it have more with Uther? Like, do we feel that that arc in and of itself was well done? And it sounds like you have a couple of maybe problems. So what in particular bothered you about just the way that she ended up going as a character? And do you think she could have helped it? Or was it always just written in the story?
Well, I think there's a lot of things that they did really well with Morgana, but I think I always sort of felt like her turn to the dark side. I mean, it's hard for me because, again, unlike you guys, it's been a little while since I've rewatched the show, but I remember just feeling like it came too soon. Like, that, this is one of the aspects of the show because, I mean, it was not a perfect show. I mean, we love it and we remember it fondly, but there were some things like her very abrupt turn and her... I mean, I'm sure there's lots of people that can make it make sense and can analyze her character and say that it all made sense, but I always felt like it happened... Like, she turned, like, on something that turns around degrees. and those looks she was always giving the camera, like, I'm evil now, smirk, you know. I felt like that was maybe for a different audience than some of the more emotionally resonant stuff. And I felt like towards the end of it, in a way, it was fitting that she had such an underwhelming end. But I always felt like her turn and her wanting to take over the kingdom and her just being completely unwilling and unable to converse with Arthur, you know, the fact that she got so consumed by her rage for Uther that manifested itself onto Arthur never made sense to me, because I always felt like her feelings for Arthur and for Uther were very similar. No, were very separate. I'm not sure this makes any sense, what I'm saying, by the way. but I think I've always remembered that as being the one thing that because I really like Morgana at the beginning, and I really like Katie McGraw. I think she's fantastic. So that would be the, I just, that was probably the one thing.
Yeah, I guess for me with Morgana specifically is that she started out really nuanced as...
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
And there were real great subtleties in the writing and the acting in regard to both her feelings towards Uther and I guess...
And Arthur and Gwen and...
Yeah, him. Yeah, and there were really, really nice threads coming in underneath that, but it was like they flipped a switch and too quickly she went from those really quiet... like awesomely subtly threaded like little stories to almost cookie cutter villain.
Right. Right.
And if
she was such a badass, you know, in the beginning with the sword. Oh.
I know. And
hey.
Oh my god.
Hi.
Sorry,
Dana. Scared the crap out of me.
Sorry.
Yeah. And I guess that for me is where they did the biggest disservice.
Yeah, for me too. Mm-hmm.
Is that they kind of went from something that was almost very, like, it was subverting a lot of the normal tropes that you get with your villains, in that it was a very quiet, very subtle build-up, but then it just shifted gears so quickly. It was like...
Are you talking about Morgana?
Yeah. Yeah. You're just in time, Kyle.
Yeah. And if there's one thing that I hate more than anything, it's overly cliched cookie cutter villains. Like, that's one thing that bugs the ever-loving crap out of me. But I loved her. Like, I do love Morgana as a character. I just think they could have, and I don't know if it's because they knew that they were only having 5 seasons, and I think if they didn't know that they were going to be finishing up in season 5, because that was, funnily enough, that was the one thing that they said in the first ever panel that they did, was that they always had a plan for 5 seasons, and that's it. Like, that was where they wanted to get to. So
yeah.
Do you think that harmed the show in the long run? Is like most of the time you'd think that, like, knowing where something's going to end is going to benefit a show, because then they have time to plan everything.
No, I don't know. Like, I think it's, I feel like, and again, this is getting, you know, very deep, which we don't necessarily have to go, but I think something happened towards the middle of the show where they sort of made a push to make it more kid-friendly. I mean, this might just be totally my interpretation, but I do feel like there was that shift at some point, like season 2 or 3, where suddenly it got very silly, and then it stopped being silly again later on. But by that point, Morgana was already evil. So I feel like the time when she was becoming evil was the time where they sort of, they cut everything out in a little bit more technicolor square shapes. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. Yeah. I'm just double checking something, because I'm pretty sure I remember that Merlin switched times, like, when it aired. Because I remember that I used to be able to get home from work and I would be able to catch it and watch it, and I'd be able to get home from work on time. And then I'm pretty sure I remember that I used to have to record it because I would miss the first half of it, because I couldn't get home in time. I'm pretty sure they shifted it earlier.
I think it switched to 10 p.m., I want to say, because, like, 9 or 10 towards the end. So it must have started at
towards
8.
The end.
Whoa. Yeah. Well, yeah, that's completely different.
Yeah, that's, like, yeah, later. But I think, but I think, because the towards the end, we were much more dark and much more for adults than it ever was before. And that's when the show was better. I mean, lots of people the 5th season was the best one.
You know what was so funny, though, while you're fact-checking that, Donya, is that, like, they tried to put Merlin on TV in the U.S., and it was originally on NBC, which is strange, and it aired, like, even the first season, they tried to air it, like, 10 p.m. on Sundays, and I'm like, you guys, this is the way a show dies. Like, what are you even doing? So, yeah, that's just kind of funny in and of itself, because if you look back at the first season, it's just so, like, oh, la, 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 happy, happy, and, like, I mean, there's some lawless situations,
yeah,
but it's very much still a kids show.
Yeah, so. And that's why I think as well that the finale, or season 5 in general, but also the finale, just resonates with you, because you're like, holy shit, I did not see this coming. Like, what is happy in a land of myth of time about this?
They eased you into it. But, you know, then he became a man. He was not a young boy.
That's true. That's, oh my God, yes. Suddenly it was a young man. And then you just knew that shit was going to go down.
Exactly.
But that's interesting, though. Also, welcome to Kyle, by the way, properly. Because he's here by magic.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yep.
He's back. Mm-hmm. Like Arthur.
Made it out of Avalon, you know?
Yes,
rose from the lake.
I did.
Did you say hi to Arthur while you were down there?
To my friend Merlin. I'm not joking. I have a friend who plays Merlin at Disneyland, so I said hi to him.
Aww.
So.
Is he doing all right?
He is.
He getting
he's
by?
Doing quite
he's
okay.
Well. He's leaving swords for Arthur everywhere, just hoping.
Should we give him a hug next time we're at the park? He's a grumpy old man, though, now, right?
Like, he's just a disguise.
Yeah. It's true. So, unless anybody has anything else to discuss regarding Morgana, I do want to talk about some of the other characters in the show.
Gwaine.
Specifically, we could talk about Gwaine, but I guess my question for you guys is, like, are there any characters that maybe, like, you loved at first and, like, dislike now, or vice versa? Maybe, like, dislike
I have so much to say to love.
Perfect. Ooh. Why don't you get us started?
Okay, I feel like I'm always starting, but okay. The feels just can't be contained, guys. Well, I just said Gwaine, and now I'm going to say Gwen, but there is a difference. Guinevere. We were talking a little bit about this before the show, Pam, and I think it's just I mean, we don't have to spend a lot of time on it, but basically I think our love for Merlin is a little bit problematic when it comes to the women in the show, I think, because we had Morgana, who started out just brilliant and sort of became a little bit of a caricature, and then we had Gwen, who started out so great, and something just, again, when... And she kept being great, but by the time we had that time jump in season 5 and she was queen, I don't think she was that great anymore. Like, I loved her so much, and I loved her friendship with Merlin, I loved her relationship with Arthur. Like, I think the way that was built up was so great. And I remember, like, I've gushed about this so many times. Like, the first time he was like, Guinevere, and I was like, oh my god, like, it's... But I felt like by the end of the show, it wasn't that I didn't like her anymore. It was just that there wasn't much to like, because she was so much in the background, and she had that one episode where she got possessed, and she was like, she killed somebody, and then they just like let it go because they were like, nope, you know what? It's near the end. It's all about Merlin and Arthur, and that was fine, but it did kind of come at the expense of Gwen, which I thought was unfortunate, because again, it was one of those characters that I really, really wanted to root for. If that makes sense. Like, I don't know. I think that's pretty fair. Yeah,
it does, because I think that, like, not to say Gwen wasn't strong, but she was almost stronger when she didn't have the weight of the kingdom on her shoulders. Like, yeah. When she was just... And maybe it's because, like, it's braver to stand up to somebody that's higher than you when you are in a lower position,
right,
and not so much when you become an equal. So she, in that
she
sense,
reached her purpose. I think that's the problem. Yeah, she reached her character purpose, and then they had nothing else to do. Like, literally, she had nothing else to do. She was just there, and I felt like they could have, if it had been a different type of show, there's a lot of stuff they could have done with Gwen, but they prioritized other things, and I'm perfectly fine with that. Yeah. But it did. It was sort of
almost like. But if you think about it, looking back, it's almost like they got the character to where they wanted her, and then she was ready to rule after Arthur passed. Yeah. So her storyline just, it wrapped up quicker than the show did. So I guess it makes sense that everybody's loose ends were wrapped up, and then all we had left was our one last adventure with Merlin and Arthur.
Oh, cheers.
Think about it that way.
Yeah.
But Kyle, mm-hmm. What about you, like, in terms of characters and stuff like that?
You're going to hate me.
No, we don't hate you. We don't love you. Unless you say you don't like Arthur. And then in that case, you know,
fighting
we'll
words for Selena.
No, not Arthur.
So then I'm going to hate you. So I was,
he's going to say he hates Gaius, guys.
I don't remember this character's name, which is ridiculous because he's prime and like very important. Luther? The old man. What's his name?
Gaius?
No, what's his name?
Gaius.
Oh my god, that's what I just said.
Gaius.
I have predicting powers. Okay, go on.
I liked him at first. I thought he was quirky and like cute and like protective. And then his eyebrow fucking...
What? I love his eyebrow. Are you kidding?
I hate his eyebrow much. It made... it's not even... I don't think that I have a problem with Gaius, but I think his eyebrow turned me against him because everything he said... I started to like think of him being as like an overprotective kind of nuisance in Merlin's life.
Okay.
I don't know. I didn't really appreciate him as much as I should have.
That's like, so weird. Like, that's okay. First of all, super random, but also funny because I think like with characters like Gaius and stuff, like, he wasn't a perfect character, but I felt like that's like kind of the beauty of Merlin is that the characters were sort of allowed to be a little bit annoying sometimes, and they were allowed to make bad choices, and they were allowed to be selfish or to be a little bit annoying, but you still kind of, they felt complete. Like, I don't know, I always really liked Gaius. We might have to fight a little bit now, Kyle, anyway.
I just wanted Merlin to do like, be more of an independent wizard.
I don't know. We can talk about Dalma if you want.
But yeah, like, does that make any sense, or does that just
seem
like...
Yeah, it does. It does. We'll agree to disagree.
Is that Donia going like,
No, that wasn't me. I think that was Sam.
No, I was just going to say that I think we could all agree that Dalma is the one character that should never change.
Yes. That might be my favorite character.
Ever. Ever, ever.
of anything.
Yeah. So we cannot talk about characters and character relationships, you guys, without bringing up Murther. Mm. So let's delve in to that. And I guess the only way to do that is just for me to ask you guys, like, do you ship it? Why or why not?
Hell yeah, I ship it. Are you kidding me?
I ship it.
Like, whatever form you want to imagine your Murther, there is absolutely no doubt, and we shouldn't even pretend that there's any doubt that this relationship slash friendship, like, slash whatever, is the core of the show, and it's what made us all fall in love with it, and it's what made the finale so heartbreaking. And I think it's one of the things that I applaud the writers for so much, is just going there, you know?
Yeah. It's funny because I feel like you have shipping wars, like, all over the place, like on Once Upon a Time and Harry Potter. Like, some people like Harry Hermione, some people like Ron and Hermione, some people like Harry and the Giant Squid. But I think the one thing Merlin fans can all agree on is that you ship Murther, whether you bromance it or romance it. And
it was the heart of the really show. Nice. I mean, I think that's why the show is so great, is that because they were like, you know what? Like, they didn't engage with the shows hardly ever do, but it's not like they were like, oh, we're gonna define this for you, so there's no question. Like, this was just from the very beginning, it was about Merlin and Arthur, and they're sort of two sides of the same coin, kind of epic story, and it was all about the two of them, and we had all those other things happen in between, and you can like those things as well. Like I said before, I think Gwen was fantastic. I loved seeing it. Like, it's not like this, I don't feel like, I mean, I know there were shipping wars when the show was going on, but I think most people, like, when you watch it, you're like, this is Merlin and Arthur show, because it was Merlin's show, but Merlin, his world revolved around Arthur, so that made it Merlin and Arthur show, if you know what I mean. And I think, again, we've talked about how beautiful the finale was and how just all-encompassing it was, and it sort of makes you think, you know what, love is a lot of things, and however you choose to interpret their love, that's for you and your fanfic, you know? But it was so all-encompassing and so epic, and I just think it's one of the most beautiful things. I think it was amazing.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, for me, also, ship it with the fire and passion of 1,000 burning suns.
Aww.
Like, I love that relationship. But like Selena said, whether you viewed it during the show as something that was romantic or platonic, there's like no getting away from the fact that,
and it almost doesn't matter, because it was more than that. Yeah. You know what I mean?
The story of Merlin from season 1 to season 5 was a love story between Merlin and Arthur.
Yeah.
Whether you see that as platonic or romantic, there's like, that's it. Bottom line, it's the epic love story of Merlin and Arthur.
Yes. The title of a very popular article on HiPeople.com.
Nice,
it's
plug
true
there.
Thanks.
It's so true.
I've seen it quoted on Tumblr.
Yeah, I for me, they legitimately had me from like the word go. So from the first episode, I was just like, wait, are they gonna go there?
But do you guys think? I mean, do we want to like get into that a little bit? Do you think they should have gone there? Because I know a lot of people on Tumblr were like, well, we didn't get like an I love you or anything in the finale. And they were kind of saying they felt like it built up to that. But I'm not sure.
But I don't think it needed to be said. I feel like it
would have cheapened it, you know, in a little way.
There are like, it totally would have. No need for words. Yeah. I mean, like, it was, if you can't see it there, then like, are you blind? Like, really?
Right.
Yeah.
I think you're right. It would have cheapened it. I totally get it, Kyle. Go on.
That's one of the best things about it, is that they never said anything, and I think it's amazing, actually, because then it keeps us thinking about it, and like we can have all this headcanon and all this fan fiction, and we can imagine it and stuff, but like it's like it's a love. It's almost like it's like a love so powerful, like it doesn't need to be stated at all. Like it's just it's there. And in some ways, I think it's more powerful in the fact that they didn't do anything, because everyone knew it was there, and like they didn't have to prove themselves to anyone. They didn't have to like do anything. Like, I just think that it's one of the rare ships that I think benefited from not actually becoming on screen canon. Like, it benefited from the fact
that
they're
not there. I feel like this is where I might get a little bit of hate from like the diehard Merlin shippers. But like, Selena, you asked if like we think that they should have gone there, like full on gone there. And to be honest with you, I think it almost just would have, like, I don't feel like in my head the characters would have let themselves, because Arthur is so focused on doing what's right, and Merlin is so focused on like making sure Arthur does what's right and making sure he's around enough for that right to be seen by the rest of the kingdom. So in that sense, there's like almost no time for I love yous, and there's no time for romance. And like, yeah, he marries Gwen, but, and he cares about her, but it's like, it takes a back seat to like these characters have, like, it's kind of sad to think about it this way, but they have more important things that they're trying to reach for than love. Mm-hmm. And so love takes a back seat until they realize that nothing else matters, because it's all been said and done, and the only thing they can do is say goodbye and show so affection. Beautiful. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. And I think that's kind of like, I mean, that's always what I come down to, because obviously, and this could go into a whole other discussion, which we do not need to go into, but the whole thing about same-sex ships and fandom and all that stuff, where people are like, maybe these guys are gonna get together, or maybe these guys are gonna get together, okay, how about these guys, and no one ever does. So I feel like that's the case for Merlin. Like, the only reason I would say, okay, well, why didn't they like quote-unquote get together, would be because I was like, well, somebody one of these ships, like, they can't just keep not making it happen for all of these ships. But I think that's just me sort of in general in terms of culture, because in terms of Merlin, it was perfect. And there was absolutely, like you guys have all said, like, there was absolutely no need for them to go there. And it would have been somewhat, it would have felt a little bit like they were,
pandering.
It wouldn't. I mean, at the same time, it wouldn't. It's not that it would, but I do feel like the way they did it was absolutely perfect. And I think if anything more had happened in the finale would have been about that. Like, that would have been the one thing that everyone would have been like, look at that, look at what they did. And while that would have been great in a cultural sense, I think, like, selfishly, I kind of feel like, well, yeah, but then we had this perfect finale, and on the theme of unfinished business, you can do too much. Like, Merlin was so understated, and it's so funny because compared to the rest of the show, like, that show was not subtle, but the finale was so damn subtle all the way through, and everything more would have ruined that. When Arthur comes back, however, that's a different story.
Yeah. Well, since you're kind of, you transitioned us so well into unfinished business, I mean, the big question is, and Marie is one of the many people who wrote into us on Twitter and about this, is like, do we think Arthur came back, or is he going to come back, and what is it going to take? Because as far as we know, poor Merlin is still roaming all alone in Glastonbury waiting for Arthur to return.
Yeah. Do you know what's going to make him come back? The state of this goddamn country right now. That's what's going to make him come back.
He's hashtag Arthur Watch 2015.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah. I think he will come back. I want to believe.
Of course. But the thing is, the dragon promised. So we know it's going to happen, right? Like, please tell me that is true.
Well, I want to believe the dragon, but he's full of so much cryptic bullshit that half the time you don't know if he's really saying anything of use at all.
And you know, so funny about the finale is that, like, the shot itself of him going is epic and everything, but like, him just wandering the world for like thousands of years, it's so dumb. what the hell was he doing?
I hated it.
I hated the last shot
so much.
New headcanon. Okay. So, like, Arthur dies, and it's terrible, but not really. And Merlin sends him off. He goes to see if Camelot's all right and sticks around enough for everybody to pass on. And then he does what Merlin does in Arthurian legend, and he just kind of holes up in a tree. And the whole reason that we have that last shot at the end is because he's like, Arthur, where are you? You're supposed to be back today. Like, I guess you're going to be back tomorrow. Like, you can't wake up. That's my new headcanon.
Oh my god. So he's been sleeping.
Arthur, like, where are you? Like, I was waiting for you. Like, here's your coffee and it's getting cold.
You said 3 p.m. It's 3:06. I guess I'll take another lap around the tour.
Oh my god. Wow. I love it so much. But yeah. And that's kind of brings up another question, is that is he permanently old now, or do we? Because I think I'm like unwilling to accept any other alternative to the fact that he's just magicking himself old and he can be whatever age. Because at this point, he doesn't look like a 1,000-year-old man. He looks like however 70-year-old man. So age at this point probably has become a little bit irrelevant for him. So I think he can just as well look like he did as Arthur remembered him as he can. You know,
I think it's easier for him to disguise himself as an old man because nobody really takes notice. Like, if you think about like the status of homeless people, like homeless people are invisible. So ergo, an old wanderer will be invisible to
guys. I'm sorry, I just had a thought. Do you think that the final shot would have been like a million times better if he'd been dressed as Dalma? Oh my god. The final shot. You're all sad and crying at the finale, and then he just walks into frame as Dalma.
And then he breaks the fourth wall and like turns and winks the audience.
Jesus.
Oh my god. That would have fixed everything. Why did they not think of this? But anyway, sorry.
So
that's just
are we
the
all
image.
In agreement that Merlin is just like in disguise as an old man?
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, because that's the thing. Again, like he is old, but he's older than he looks anyway. Mm-hmm. So it is a disguise, I think. We just settled that right there. And he'll want to look like how Arthur remembered him.
That's right. So if Arthur comes back as an old man, Merlin will probably just stay an old
which
man.
He probably wouldn't because that makes no sense. But it's also just like you imagine that reunion and you're like speaking about their epic relationship, and you just imagine like if Arthur came back and Merlin was like, oh, you're back, and Arthur was just like clapped him on the shoulder and been like, all right, let's get to work. Like, no. Like, you just don't want to imagine that because like poor Merlin, you know.
That's probably exactly what happened.
Probably
Arthur
exactly
is like
happen.
A workaholic and he's like, no, I must save England.
Yeah, and Merlin's well, like, but you know, but my hug.
Like funny thing that, to me in my head is Arthur's like the once and future king.
Yeah.
Right? So and so when it says future king and like they've gone so far to present day and basically society's completely moved forward from like monarchies except for like the UK, but like the UK like the monarchy in the UK doesn't really do all that much. And how much power he had back in his day. So I'm just imagining him coming back and be like, all right, I'm the king. And people are like,
you know, that kind of means that. Nothing now.
Yeah.
You get and to so look pretty and do charity work.
Mm-hmm. You know what? I'm okay with that. You know, if an Arthur that looks like Bradley James wants to parade around and like, I'm cool with it, you guys. That's fine.
I think if he came back, I mean, again, we're sort of like writing a new show now instead of talking about the old one. But I think if he did come back, like he would probably, I could totally see him just being like, all right, I'm going to reclaim this kingdom. And Merlin kind of has to break it to him that actually, you know, the world has moved on from that. And now they have to like do something to save the world, but they can't be like the king. You know what I mean?
And he can't be Arthur because it's like Arthurian legend has now become a fable. Like it's very richly ingrained in the history of the people, but it's still
not necessarily the
actual. That's true.
Shadows of history.
So in reality,
echoes of a lost time. I'm sorry, I'm done.
They could be back, and we just
they
don't
could
know.
Be back already. Yeah.
Oh, come on, Arthur. Just become prime minister, please.
The once and future prime minister.
There you go.
I mean, it's close enough right now.
Donya needs him.
Yeah.
We also have, like, I mean, Merlin and Arthur aside, we have a lot of questions about some of the other characters. Specifically, I know we have some Gwen and Leon shippers.
I put that in.
Do you guys, well, clearly, like, tell me about why you think or don't think that Gwen and Leon became a thing.
The Gwen and Leon thing, I have no idea where that came from. Like, honestly, I don't know if you guys remember how that came about. Like, they had, like, one scene together in the show, and suddenly people were like, yeah, they love each other. I just like the idea that because we haven't really talked about the knights much, but that was kind of one of the other things that made the show amazing, was just like their camaraderie and little gang of boys, you know, and Leon sort of always felt like the more mature one, and he had the whole never die weird thing, and I felt like towards the end we have a lot of questions about Gwen. Is she gonna rule the kingdom on her own? Was she pregnant? Is another crack theory of mine that didn't work out. But I think I like the idea that she found love. You know, I think Gwen is a very pragmatic person, and I think even though she obviously loved Arthur very much, I think she would take a companion. You know, she would take a concert. She would go to a concert. she would take a consort or someone she trusted and someone she allowed herself to get close to. And I think Leon was probably the obvious candidate for that. And I like the idea of her not being alone.
We actually got, and I'm so sorry, I forgot your name, but somebody actually talked a little bit about this on Tumblr when we posted about the show we were going to do. And this person mentioned that it would, like, because Leon is one of the knights that has been in the background for so long in the show, like, he's kind of been there since season one. Yeah. So that's the whole thing. Like, Arthur must have known him since they were younger. And since Gwen grew up in the palace as a servant, they must have all known each other. So considering he's the only one that kind of makes it out alive, it would only make sense for them to gravitate towards each other.
Yeah. And I mean, Gwen needs a relationship where someone isn't going to die.
Like, literally never. It would be so funny if, like, Merlin walks by and then, like, 5 seconds later, Leon walks after him in the future. Like, wait up, Merlin!
It's like, dude, you're walking too fast.
I don't die either. We don't know why.
Let's be friends.
Dragons and attacks.
Yeah. I want to be your BFF now. And Merlin's like, no, there's no one but Arthur. And Leon's like, but come on, man.
That's exactly what
happened. See, we laugh because of the pain.
Yes, it's true. This is another really good question. And I guess it kind of goes into more theorizing. But Tumblr user Merlin's Earmuffs wanted to know how we think the story would have been different if Merlin had revealed his magic sooner. And this is something that goes around in the fandom a lot. So let's start with Kyle this time. What do you think?
Oh, man. I was thinking about this because I was watching the first season, and it was the episode where Merlin tried to blame himself for some magic thing that was, like, going on. And he was like, I'm like, a wizard. And people were like, no.
it was Gwen's dad, about, right?
Yeah, Gwen's
so
dad.
Sad.
Yeah, and they were blaming it on Gwen. And so I was thinking about it, and, like, if the series had, like, continued on from, like, him, and that they'd actually believed him, I think it would have been completely different, especially because Uther was still in command. He was king at that point. And I don't know, like, I don't think the series would be the same, obviously, but I think it would be worse if Merlin had ever revealed his powers. I think the only way it would have been better is if it happened during the last season and they were able to, like, build up this trust between Wizard Merlin and Arthur. But any time before that, I think it would have sucked, because part of the awesome stuff about Merlin is waiting for him to reveal his powers and waiting for this relationship to grow so that he can trust Arthur enough to do this, and that Arthur wouldn't reject him straight away. And I think that's the entire reason the show was successful, is because people kept tuning in and be like, I wonder if he's ever going to tell his powers, you know? So, like, anywhere before the fifth season, I think would have failed. I think it would have gone terribly.
I think part of that is true. I think they did, but I do kind of disagree that they couldn't have revealed it at some point, because I think part of the thing for me, the formulaicness of the show, of Merlin not revealing his magic, it was fine. And obviously we had that huge reveal at the very end, which sort of made it all worth it. But I would have liked, and I think a lot of people feel this way, that they would have liked a season of Merlin and Arthur getting to work together. Because the thing is that the show spent so long building up to a time of Arthur ruling the kingdom and Merlin by his side and them working together. And we never got it. It built up to this thing that never happened. Like, the closest we got to it happening was the 2 years or 3 years during the time jump when Arthur was king and it was supposedly all wonderful and we never really got to see it. In retrospect, I would have liked a season of Arthur and Merlin working side by side and Arthur knowing Merlin's magic and kind of having to accept Merlin's magic and having to accept him by his side and making him court sorcerer or whatever it was. Like, I think that would have been really nice. And I do sort of think, looking back, it was all foreshadowed and it never panned out. But that said, I'm fine with how it was, you know, because of the finale.
No, I really would have liked to have seen a season where both Arthur and Merlin were aware of each other's full potential and full powers and what good and what amazing things they could have achieved together utilizing both of their strengths. Arthur as a leader and Merlin with his magic. I think one of the biggest things about Camelot and the damage in Camelot was that there was so much bad done from this divide between people who had magic and people who didn't, that it would have been very, very difficult for Arthur to get around, like, on his own. Mm-hmm. But Merlin having powers and being accepted within the court and them working together would have done so much to repair all of that.
Yeah.
And I think I would have liked to have seen that.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. I do like to think that because we, without words, we get the feeling at the end of the series that Gwen knows that Merlin's the one that has magic and has helped the kingdom so much. So I like to think that she's the one that restored magic to Albion for a time. And so maybe in that sense, Gwen is really the once and future queen, as it were. Mm-hmm. And she's the one that's she's carrying on the mantle and she's restoring the golden age of Camelot until the time comes when Camelot is defeated.
One of those things that we imagine that's going to happen. They never actually, and there's a beauty of Merlin to set all this up and they ended the show. And then we think that we actually got all these things because we imagine them happening. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But I guess that the main reason why people get upset about the fact that we never got a season of Merlin and Arthur knowing what each of them was capable of is because it took
was their
so
destiny.
Long. Well, yeah, but it also took so long for Merlin to be thanked for everything that he's done because he's such a selfless character throughout the entire series. So this question also comes from Tumblr. It's from James Barnes, and they want to know.
I just saw that. Yay! Another fandom.
They want to know why Arthur didn't knight Merlin too at the tail end of series 3 when they first stumble upon the round table. That's when he knights all of his knights and Merlin just kind of gets cast aside. So does anybody have any thoughts about that?
My thought is that think of it like conscription for the army. Like, if you are a knight, you are duty bound to go to war in regard to in the physical sense of being able to fight physically with swords to protect the kingdom. I guess from what Arthur knew of Merlin, his skill in regard to his physical ability to fight, he probably would have been putting Merlin on the front lines to die in his head. So
that's a really good point.
So for me, I don't think he did it to be ungrateful for everything that Merlin's done for him. I think it was his way of protecting Merlin, because from the way that Merlin conducts himself through the entire series, he doesn't have that physical ability to fight. And obviously with magic not being known, in Arthur's head, he would be using him as cannon fodder, I guess. And I think that would be the last thing that Arthur ever would have wanted to do. So you gotta, I guess, as an audience, we know more
about Merlin's ability and the fact that he would have been able to hold his own. He would have been a great knight in regards to everything he would have been able to do. But we have to remember that no one else knows that.
Yeah.
You just gave me all the warm fuzzies. That's adorable.
That's a really great
That's
theory.
Really nice.
I love it. I love it. So cute.
I don't even have anything to add. That's perfect. So I guess now that we've talked the finale to death, we should move on to the present day. Or in terms of the present day, we're of course talking about the present day of the fandom. So, I mean, the fandom is clearly still going strong. And I mean, like,
how great is that, you guys? I mean, I'm not on Tumblr and stuff that much. I know you guys probably are a bit more, but just going in there every once in a while and seeing all those gift sets and all of those like headcanons and all of that, people still going, like, either people are still discovering the show and being like, this just broke my heart, or they're like just coming out with this, I'm gonna rewatch the show and it still makes me feel as strongly. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just so good. I was just on there just you know, quote unquote researching, and I speaking of the finale, I found this thing people had put together of Arthur saying, like, I just want to say, like, one thing I've never said to you before, and then it, like, cut in all the times he'd said thank you throughout the show. And I was like, oh, burn. But there's this, all these funny things, like, texts from Arthur, and, like, Pam, your personal favorite, like, Hufflepuff Arthur, like, which just makes me laugh so much. There's so many great things going on.
It's funny because I'm not on Tumblr very much either, but every once in a while I will stumble across some things, and one of them was, it's like these headcanons are so great. Like, people make up all these stories in their heads, and it's something that they can't do because the best and the worst thing the showrunners could have done, as we said before, is to give us an open-ended ending for us to be able to impose our own ideas about these characters on. And so one of the great ones is that this girl or guy, I'm not sure, does a comic series called Aggressive Hufflepuff Arthur. And in their headcanon, so Arthur, it, much to the shock of everybody, gets sorted into Hufflepuff when he gets to Hogwarts. And he just kind of embraces it. And then he becomes the most Hufflepuff.
It's so good.
It is my greatest thing. And honestly, since Pam introduced me to it, I've been thinking about it more and more and more and more. And now in my head, I can't separate Arthur from being a Hufflepuff. Like, I stopped and, like, looked at the traits of a Hufflepuff, and I was like, they're going, no, you know what? It actually does kind of work.
Yeah.
So now Arthur,
except
in my
for the
head
stupidly
is
throwing himself into danger, but you're right. I mean, it's it's true. I love it.
He's and a Griffin Puff.
He's a Griffin Puff. Yay!
Because he's loyal to his people, but he's also stupidly brave, and that's why he needs Merlin to save him. Like, half the time,
Merlin, the long-suffering Slytherin, apparently.
Apparently, we don't have to get into that. But no. Oh my God, we could sort them for hours.
Kyle, you're on Tumblr a bit. Is there anything that's caught your eye lately or in the past?
I can't remember. I can't think of anything specific. There have just been like cute little like text posts about like what would have happened if like Merlin and Arthur stay together the entire time, like towards the future. And I remember seeing one that like had them like with their own like B&B for some reason, and like. It would explain every year that they'd have, like, once every 100 years, they'd have a new experience in the B&B, and every year Arthur would try to, like, demand things because he thinks that he's still the king, and Merlin's just like, no.
Yeah, I think the cool thing, and this kind of transitions into our next topic of discussion, but, like, as the cast does more and more things after, now that Merlin has ended, like, there are so many more possibilities for people to get creative with, like, scenes from shows that they've been in and kind of use those to make gift sets, just kind of, you know, using their own headcanon about what happened next, or put these characters in a whole different situation. So that's really cool. But speaking of the cast, they've all been moving on to some great projects. So does anybody have anything they're particularly excited about coming up for any
Underworld.
Of Merlin
Underworld.
Alums? Underworld.
Underworld. Oh my God.
Oh, dear Bradley James.
I can't remember who I was screeching.
That was it me.
Yeah, I was screeching at Selena about Bradley James being in Underworld because I love, I unapologetically love how ridiculous the Underworld movies are. They're so bad. So bad, but I love them.
Like, I'm just glad because it's like the closest I'll probably ever get to hear him say Selena because the name is Celine of the lead.
Yeah. Yeah.
You take what you can get, you know? We're not all being saved
That's
from spiders.
My favorite thing.
Yeah, no, I'm super excited for that. But if anyone hasn't watched this yet, there was this really awesome series that Colin Morgan was in called Humans.
That's my favorite. What about, and not just because Colin Morgan's in it, but it's really one of my favorite shows of the summer.
It's so good.
It's so good. Yeah. Like, I totally agree.
I was completely blown away by it. Mm-hmm. Like, I tuned into it not expecting too much because it was a Channel 4 program, and Channel 4 over here is notoriously hit and miss in regards to quality of programs. Like, some of them are really bad. Like, so bad. But, like, every now and again, they'll have, like, a gem of a show that's just well-written, well-acted, really unique, and just, like, comes out of nowhere. And Humans is one of those. Like, it was by far and away my runaway favorite show of the summer. It was fantastic. Wow. So.
Yeah, you know what? I'm so glad that you said this because I got a little bit of crap about Humans when I brought it up on the regular show, just because everybody thought I was being biased. But it no. really is. It's
no
wonderful. It's wonderfully acted. And it actually should be pointed out that it's gotten picked up for Series 2. Yeah. So it's going to be airing on Channel 4 in the UK and also on AMC in the US, which is really nice because that means we get to watch it on our television screens as well. We don't have to resort to illegal methods to stream these shows.
I'm super excited for Damien, personally.
Yes.
I think it's
going
to scare me to death, but I'm looking forward
to it. And, you know, speaking of scary things, back to Colin, he's also got this show on BBC coming back.
This is so appropriate.
Yes, it's called The Living...
So, Bradley... No, wait, let's go back to Colin.
Let's go back to Bradley. No, I'm curious. But, like, they're all different spooky shows, and I'm wondering what you guys think about this. Like, between Damien and this, like, supernatural, like, period piece over here, like, I don't even know how I'm going to watch this in the dark.
Yeah, Bradley James is kind of transitioning to doing villain roles a little bit, which is interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I said this on Twitter the other day, but I'm just very intrigued by the projects that he picks for himself because out of all of them, barring maybe Angel, he has really kind of stand under the radar. Who's Angel?
What?
Oh, Angel Colby.
Oh, I thought you like he was on Angel.
No. Barring Angel Colby, who plays Gwen, he has really taken his time to pick his projects, and I'm really just intrigued, specifically intrigued to see what he does next, because everybody kind of thought that because I guess his physical features, he would just start going into like maybe action or something like that. He's just kind of really settled.
He's avoiding the Taylor Lautner effect.
Yeah,
I think
he is, which is smart. These are like meaty roles, and like Damien specifically, we have a bunch of coverage of that from Comic-Con this year. It looks really well done, and it's got a great cast. So if you're interested in that and you haven't checked it out, we do have a lot of content on that for Hypeable.
Did I zombie get canceled?
No, he just isn't on it anymore.
He's not on it anymore.
Oh.
They just scarred Merlin. I think it's okay to talk about it now because it's been ages, but they basically scarred Merlin fans even more because we'd been waiting so long for Arthur to come back, and he finally gets a role and they kill him off. And we were like, no!
Figured. Dang it.
I know. It was
That's
pretty
not
horrible.
Nice.
No, it really wasn't. It really wasn't nice of them.
I really don't want Bradley James to become the new
Sean Bean.
Sean Bean. I don't want him to be the new Sean Bean.
What do you guys think about? Because I've been following Katie McGrath's career a little bit because I love her so much, and I know she was in that Dracula show that didn't last long, and then she had
that horrible
death.
Dracula show is
in
actually fantastic.
Jurassic World. Yeah, I was going to say is that she sort of had a little bit bad luck in her projects, which I think is a shame because I think that she is a really good actress. Like, I legitimately really, really like her. And I know she's, like, the big irony, obviously, is that she's been cast in this new King Arthur movie starring Charlie Hunnam as King Arthur, not my Arthur, hashtag. And she's going to be playing some, like, tiny role, and it just, it feels so wrong, you know, because she's Morgana. Well, she should be doing great things.
It would have been weird if she had been Morgana in this.
It would have been so good.
New adaptation.
Which is so funny. It would have
been hilarious. But yeah, I actually had no idea she had been cast in this until I was doing research for our special, and I was like, plot twist?
Yeah.
What? But I think it's really cool that, you know, and she clearly has other things that she's done or has worked on, so she's not like obviously hurting for work, but no. I think it's really awesome that she's not afraid to go back to Arthurian legend. And that's probably just a testament to the kind of person she is. She always kind of seemed to me like she was just like into the fandom, because she's kind of a big nerd too. You know, if you go like search Katie McGraw on YouTube or whatever and pair it with like SDCC, you'll see her getting just as excited about other shows that are there as like we would get about like doing Merlin stuff. So I think it's really awesome that she's game to do this personally.
I'm mad that she was in Jurassic Park for all of like 10 minutes.
And she had that ridiculous death scene. That was so uncalled for. So that sucked.
Yeah, definitely.
So if nobody else has anything to add, it might be time to get into our feedback.
Is anyone watching
section.
Night Shift? Because like I really need to check it out. But
I saw the first season. I just I'm just gonna be honest. The San Francisco Giants went into the World Series, and then I stopped watching everything for baseball. So yeah, but the first season was actually really good. If you guys are into medical dramas, it's really fun, and Owen plays kind of a rough around the edges ex-Marine, and he pretty much is just very like Owen/Gawain in that. Yeah.
That's awesome. That's exactly what I was hoping for.
He's my favorite person, like one of my favorite people, because I just feel like the casting was done so well. Like it's not like an overreach to think that he's very similar to like a lot of the characters that he plays. Mm-hmm, so I think he's really fun, and he's really active on Twitter, which is really
promoting his stuff and just being he's definitely one to follow on Twitter.
Do you guys have I know you guys probably talked about this earlier before I was able to come on, but I am actually completely dumb when it comes to Arthurian legend. I've not read anything. I've not like really like Merlin is like the only piece of like Arthurian legend that I've seen, other than like the movie about this one kid that gets transported there from like the 90s.
A kid in King Arthur's court.
That's the only other like Arthurian legend thing that I've seen. And so I'm curious, especially Selena, because like, you're so well versed in Arthurian legend. Do you have any book recommendations, not movie recommendations, because I feel like there's a lot of like TV and movie, but like do you have any book recommendations for people who got introduced to Arthurian legend because of this show and want to get themselves deeper into it?
Well, honestly, I think Danya's probably the one you want to ask about this, or Pam more than me, but I think what I just wanted to say was that I think for me, actually, it's kind of the opposite. I was so into Arthurian legends when I was younger. It's one of the reasons I went to Wales to begin with, hunting for dragons, you know, as you do. But after Merlin, I can't anymore, because none of it is right to me. Like, I started watching Merlin, I was like, this is crap, he's not even old, Arthur's stupid, this is not the story as I know it. And I watched Merlin, and it took over everything for me. So now every time I try to, I have some books as well, and I'm sure Danya will be recommending them as well, but I can't do it anymore, because it doesn't feel right. Like, the show has totally ruined the legends for me. And so that's kind of weird. Like, it's kind of sad. It is kind of sad, but it's also kind of just speaks to the testament of the show, I guess. Anyway, you guys can do your thing.
Do you have anything?
Books. If you want a background of like Celtic mythology and a couple of other things going on around the same time, and just some other myths and bits and pieces, read a book called The Mabinogion. And I will spell that out to put in the show notes if you want as well. But I will. It's basically, it's not a really thick book, but it's got some of the initial Arthurian legend stuff, and it's got like other Welsh mythology stuff kind of threaded through it, and other Celtic mythology stuff. That's really good. Sir Thomas Malory's Le Morte d'Arthur, which is like, it's like a go-to. You have to read it, but it
is one of my favorites too. Actually,
depending on what you're used to reading, it is a little bit of a heavy read. It can be a bit difficult. But in the same way that sometimes things like The Lord of the Rings can be a little bit more difficult to read in terms of its writing style. But it's very, very, very good. And I guess T.H. White's The Once and Future King as well. Because that's really... that's a must-have as well. I'm trying to think what else I have. Like, I have, like, a whole shelf.
If you want something that's a bit more... it's kind of takes a different focus on the characters. The Mists of Avalon is obviously one that you have to talk about.
Mists of Avalon is so good.
Because, yeah, and it's more fiction. It's a much more easy read. And it's interesting because it focuses on the woman of Arthurian legend. And that's so really good. Fun in and of itself. T.H. White is, of course, the go-to. That's what... Disney based, loosely based The Sword and the Stone on. So that's a nice one to add to your collection. And then I like poetry because I'm a big nerd. So Tennyson has some great Arthurian legend poems. So like you have like The Lady of Shalott and stuff like that. Ooh. So I enjoy his stuff as well.
There is a book by Nancy McKenzie called Child Queen. That's about Guinevere, and that one's really, really good as well. And it's got a follow-up called High Queen as well.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness! Thank you guys so much. Yes. You totally exceeded my expectations.
I was going to say, like Selena said, we do have to move along because we're running a little late, and we want to make sure Donya is here for the whole time. So we're going to move into our feedback.
We're basically
section.
Just going to keep podcasting until Arthur comes back. Just so you know,
vigil, still here. But we do want to move into our feedback section. We got so much feedback. We found out we were going to be doing this show, so we really want to thank everybody. But we want to thank one very special person in particular. I'm going to let Selena take this because she was able to secure this.
All right. Well, if you guys listen, like if you guys know our work from Hypeable or from Hype and stuff, you'll know that if there's anything that I absolutely hate is asking people to do stuff, and it's probably one of the reasons why we're not like, I don't know, I don't reach out to people and get them to do stuff because I think it's so awkward. But we were doing the special, and I thought, well, I'd had some dealings with Alexander Vlahos, who plays Merlin. What? Played Mordred on the show in the past. I've interviewed him a couple of times. I've interacted with him. He's a super nice guy. And I was like, I can ask him maybe for something, maybe. And I tweeted to him. I was like, we're recording the special. Do you have anything to say to the Merlin fans? And like right after I tweeted, I was like, okay, I'm going to delete it. This is so embarrassing. But I didn't. And he replied, and he gave us this wonderful little message, because he's awesome, and obviously he would do this for the Merlin fans. I should never have doubted that. And he says on Twitter, unfortunately, this is an audio, so you're just going to have to hear his voice in my voice. Merlin fans, this wonderful show has always been for you. You keep the magic alive, even now. Happy 7th anniversary to the best fandom out there. All my druid love, Mordred. XX. Oh, isn't that nice? Alex
Cue
Lajos.
The warm fuzzies.
Oh, group hug over the internet. It's amazing. We'll post this as well on our Twitter. I didn't want to give it away.
We can post it on our Instagram.
Yay. Yeah. So basically, you know, you're the best fandom out there, the Merlin fandom. I don't think there's any doubt about that because we've been talking about the whole show, like you guys are incredible.
We love you so much.
And that's why we're doing this. Like first and foremost, like
exactly.
Or we do this for you guys, and we're doing this for you guys. So.
Exactly, just to relive it a little bit. But I just want to say, because we didn't really talk about this in the when we talked about the actors, but Alex Vlahos has some great stuff going on right now as well. He has a small role in the upcoming French show Versailles, which will be on, I believe it'll be on Channel Plus in November. Canal Plus, sorry, not Channel, and it's this French show. I'm not sure he's in it that much, but we've seen some set pictures of him. It looks pretty awesome, and of course, Big Finish's Dorian Gray audio plays. I hope you guys have listened to them because they're fantastic, and he plays Dorian Gray, and I've listened to a couple of them. I think they're really, really good. And obviously you're listening to this podcast right now, so you're into listening to stuff, I assume. So you should definitely check that out and enjoy his voice and enjoy the retellings of Dorian Gray. And speak of bromance, I think you guys won't be disappointed. And that's just what I wanted to say. So thank you so much, Alex Blahos. I kind of hope that you're not listening to this right now because we got super gushy in this podcast. That's true.
But if you are, we love you.
Yeah.
Like a million times over.
Totally
normal. To the moon and back.
Yeah.
So we also have some feedback from Twitter. I'm going to take the first comment here. It's from Kelsey Pice, who I actually know. So if you're listening to this, which I'm sure you are, hello. Hope you're doing well. And she says, what the bleep was with that ending? Merlin in present time? Huh? And I think we kind of beat this one.
Yeah, it does have its dissenters. But I mean, I think we're all sort of, we all kind of like it. But I think we do kind of say earlier as well that if that hadn't been in the show at all, I think we would have been left heartbroken, but feeling like it was resolved. And that final thing, like, it was great, but it was also made us really angry.
I don't think I ever stated my opinion on this, because I don't know if I was on when we talked about it. I hated it. I hated it so much. I wish they'd never done it.
Yeah, I know, like, you do. Because it did sort of feel a little bit like, wait, hold on, what? Like, the entire show we've been watching in the past, and now it's the present, what's up? Like, lots of people don't like it. I personally like it, because I like the possibilities it opens up.
Mm-hmm. I get that, but I hate
but I don't
it.
Like that he had to wait for thousands of years
alone. Kyle, to soothe your anger, can you get the next comment, please, from Phoebe?
Absolutely. So Phoebe at five odd socks says, "Was magic allowed during Gwen's reign?" I think that's a really good question. I think so, because I don't think someone who had her. Who had been prosecuted, almost prosecuted, for practicing magic unfairly would then go and prosecute others.
And yeah. I mean, just think of the whole thing with her father as well. Like, she would never do that to someone else.
Yeah.
Never.
So, I don't think so. Nope.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, Donya, I'm going to give you the long one from Twitter, so you can have fun with that.
So, M. Gabriela Sosas, who is Gabby SM11 on Twitter, says, did Gwen ever find out who Merlin really was? Was she pregnant or did she remarry? What did Merlin do for centuries? Did he ever fall in love? Did he travel? Did Arthur come back? Too many questions. Who ruled after Gwen? How was her reign? What happened to Camelot? Obviously, it doesn't exist anymore. So how did it end? Because that's how I believe she asked that question.
I feel like your dramatic that was retelling is perfect. Yes.
Yeah.
So, Gabby, there's this little site called fanfiction.net where...
or maybe Archive of Our Own. Yeah.
Yeah, all good questions. I kind of like, going back to the whole Merlin and Arthur ultimate bond, I hope... that he fell in love, and then again I'm like, no, because then like he would just keep falling in love and like they would keep dying. So I kind of hope he didn't. I hope he just kind of, like Pam said, he put himself into a tree and he hibernated. Like, I like that. We should just go with that.
For when Arthur came back and inevitably bossed him around, because that's the way he shows affection.
Yeah.
Lovingly. I do want to point out that we did talk a little bit about how Gwen finding out who Merlin really was. And I think we came to the conclusion that they kind of hinted that she figured out.
But he wasn't at her coronation. So that's all other questions.
Mm. Yeah.
We should do another special.
In 3 years for the 10th anniversary. Yes. So let's move on to some comments we got from the wonderful people over at Tumblr. And I just want to give a very special thank you to somebody named Slithermint on there, whose real name is Jaden, because he really helped spread the word about our special. And it's the reason we got so many of you awesome Tumblr fans involved for this. So we hope that you've enjoyed listening, and we're going to get to some of your comments now. So the first one comes from Rainy Day, who says, what is your stance on Kilgara? Do you think he was being truthful about Merlin's destiny or manipulative? Does knowing your destiny change it or inevitably make it come to pass? This is really deep.
So deep. I mean, personally, I think he... with anyone who's able to manipulate you into doing things, there is always a kernel of truth to every lie that will land and be able to manipulate you into doing anything. There will always be some truth in the best lies. So I don't think he was particularly being deceptive about Merlin's destiny. I just think that he omitted what he needed to in order to make Merlin do what he needed.
All right, let's move on to the next comment. Selena, do you want to get that one, please?
Okay, this one is from Pendragon's Girl. Oh my, it's more than one of us, I guess. No, do you have, she asks, do any of you have any fun fandom or cast-related stories you can share? Oh, boy. Also, can you talk about which of the cast's upcoming projects you're most excited for? Can't wait to listen to this. Hope you post a link on Tumblr for the episode. I'm so glad you're going to listen to this. We kind of touched on the project thing already. As for the fun fandom or cast-related stories, ...
Pam, do you want to go?
Pam?
I feel like I've told this story already. Yeah. But
can never be told enough.
Get it? No. Get it, really? All right. Well, I guess since mine's the safest, I will share mine. So I went to Comic-Con with Hypeable, as we do, every summer. We've been doing it for a while as a staff. And I did the Damian press, and of course, Bradley James was there, and so that was like the highlight of my experience, but couldn't have just stopped with an interview. So after the round tables, I was talking to his press contact, or she was just the contact for the Damian show, and she was like, oh, thank you so much for coming. And I was like, oh, we wouldn't have missed it. You know, like, our readers, they love Bradley James. In parentheses, Pam really loves Bradley James. That didn't go said. And she was like, oh, you should meet him. Just, like, hold on. They're almost done. And I was like, okay. So she brought him over after the roundtables, and we had a nice chat, and he was really happy to know that the fans still love him. So he appreciates all your support. And right in the middle of this conversation we were having, I went to, like, just, I don't know, move back or something. And then all of a sudden some girl was, like, screaming, and I was like, what the heck is going on? Like, does somebody have a gun? And no, there was just this really, really big spider right by my foot. And I don't like spiders, you guys. So I jumped, but it's okay because Bradley was like, I'll save you. It's fine. And so he scooped the spider up. And
oh, this is such a ridiculous story.
Yeah, I can't make this up, you guys. Like, I feel like this is, like, I'm serious. Like, this is, like, legit something that happened. And I don't even know what my life is. So, yes,
you
Bradley
took a
James.
Picture, right, to immortalize
it. Well, yeah, his publicist was like, oh, my gosh, he's, like, your real knight in shining armor. Like, you guys need a picture. And I was like, all right. So there's a picture up on my Instagram. It's I think it's up on Tumblr, too, which is weird, but also awesome. And, yeah, so forever in debt to Bradley James for saving me from a giant spider.
Scary spider. You. Yeah. Scary spider. It's like straight out of an episode. It's amazing.
Exactly.
But I think just for me and Danya, we were obviously in Cardiff a lot when they were shooting the show. So we sort of see them out and about everywhere. And we had some fun encounters. I don't know about you, Danya, but for me, like, one of the funniest things now, it's been so long, but at the time it was super bizarre, was that I actually went to yoga with Colin Morgan. Like, we went to the same yoga studio, and I didn't say anything at the time because I was like, well, like, people are going to find out, like, and it's going to be my fault. It was pretty funny. And it was actually one of the reasons why I started watching the show, because I'd kind of given up on it a little bit at some point. But then I was like, you know what? I'm seeing these guys everywhere. I should probably check it out.
I used to work at the Apple store in Cardiff, and they used to be in all the time because they love their Apple products. So usually when the stuff stopped working or wasn't working or something had gone wrong with it or they dropped it or any number of things, and usually I'd be the one who ended up talking to them and helping them out and so on and so forth. But what you've got to understand, guys, is Cardiff is not a very big place.
Yeah. It's pretty much just a shopping mall and a castle.
Basically. So I used to go to a specific pub I won't say which one because chances are that it's probably still frequented by some of the people who stick around Wales. And I don't.
No, of course.
But they used to go to the same pub all the time. And coincidentally, it was the pub me and my friends used to hang out at because it was our local one. So, and by local, when you say local pub in the UK, it usually means the one that's at the end of your street. Because it's easy to get home. But yeah, they used to be there. So sometimes I would like end up chatting to them at the bar. And sometimes we'd just like stand at the bar talking and then get each other drinks and stuff. Like, it was really weird.
That's amazing. Like,
it was really ordinary, just standard conversations. Like, there was nothing particularly special about it. It was just very normal.
Because guess what? They're normal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So yeah. What you're saying is there was no drunk karaoke or anything.
No magic tricks.
And I really love that you mentioned that. Because, like, that when I was doing the Bradley James thing, it was, like, it was so funny. Because, like, I was just going to be like, oh, hey, like, nice to meet you. And, like, our fans love what you do. So thank you for that. But he just like, they're just people, you know, and it's so nice. And like, we were talking about like baseball because he also roots for the Giants, which is the home team over in San Francisco. So we were talking about that, like our dads and like all this stuff. And he's like, yeah. So I guess just if you ever run into them, just remember they're normal, people and I be normal.
One of the reasons that this show is probably the fandom is enduring is because you can feel when the people involved actually like each other and like the work that they're doing.
Yeah.
And like, you know, the fact that other people are appreciating their craft, you know, and are appreciating that they're doing good work. And fandom is, you know, online, fandom can be a little bit of an overwhelming place. But I feel like for the most part, these guys, they know how to deal with it and they know how they know that the fans are people too. You know, we're talking about the actors, like, oh my God, they're these great people. And then you actually meet them and you're like, oh, actually they're just people. And I think they probably have the same experience with fans. The idea of quote unquote, the fan base might be scary, but then you meet someone on the street and they're just, or you do yoga with them and they stare at you creepily and you think, Jesus Christ, the world.
What's wrong with that girl?
I can't go anywhere.
Everywhere.
Yeah. And I saw him at the cinema and I saw him. I'm pretty sure he thought I was a stalker.
All right. We have one more comment from somebody on Tumblr. This is from Clot Polls Only. And they say, I'd love to hear all your favorite fanfic recs. Can you also discuss your Hogwarts house sorting for Merlin, since that's often hotly debated? So I don't think, like, I don't personally read fan fiction. I don't know if anybody else does, but if you want just like a quick and dirty, like, rec guide, we actually did a fan fiction thing, or we had somebody curate it for us.
Let's get real. Everyone's read The Student Prince, right?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, that's right.
You know. That's required reading if you're a Merlin fan.
I guess, yeah. So, yeah, if you are looking for fan fiction, just go Google The Student Prince. That's great. It'll make you all happy because they're all alive.
Good. Yeah. Like I said before,
I read that.
I'm not a big fanfic like reader necessarily because I feel like I don't have time for it, but such good stuff. And I know we just like talked about running into the actors, and I imagine for them fanfic is probably super weird, but there's so much talent. Like if you look at something like Student Prince, it's such a good thing. It can be a book. I think it is going to be a book. You know, and we shouldn't discount fan works because I think they do really great stuff.
I mean, in an age where 50 Shades of Grey can be a number one bestseller, I feel like anything is possible. So,
yeah,
seriously.
But just really quickly, because again, we are running super long. It's so hard to cut ourselves off when we're talking about this show. Does anybody have a justification for what Hogwarts House Merlin would be sorted into? Because J.K. Rowling, in her world, Merlin is a Slytherin. But
that's a different Merlin. I don't think he's
a Slytherin. That is a different Merlin. So get ready to fight this out, because I think everybody's
rapid fire fighting. I mean, I think I've said before that I think it's kind of, it feels cheap to say that Merlin is a Hufflepuff, but I don't think we can get away from the fact that he is super loyal. Like, I think he's obviously very, very brave as well, but I don't think he has a trait that goes above his loyalty. And I know I've seen people argue for Slytherin very convincingly, but I still say his loyalty to Arthur beats everything else.
Here's the thing. I think that because Merlin is magic itself, like,
if he were to go to Hogwarts, the sorting hat would like plop on his head and he would be like, you have traits from all the houses.
That's such a cop out.
I'm serious. And then he would just pick Gryffindor by default because Arthur would be a Gryffindor unless we go with the aggressive Hufflepuff Arthur theory.
Right. I'm going with aggressive Hufflepuff.
Well, then Merlin would just pick the house that Arthur was in because he would know about his destiny and he'd be like, I have to save the Clotpole from the stupid shit he's going to do this year.
That's true.
Like, I just need to get close to him.
But so, wouldn't Merlin be sorted first because of the last name? If we're getting really technical.
Yeah, that's true.
Damn.
What you gonna do now, Pam?
I don't know why,
but I do actually like the Slytherin theory for Merlin. Because the thing about Slytherins is that they're also really loyal. I mean, just look at what the Malfoy family did for each other in order to keep each other safe. Like,
yeah,
you know, there's loyalty there, but they sometimes will do... They'll sometimes do things that aren't great, or they'll do things that are morally ambiguous in order to protect their closest loved ones. So for me, that's, you know, there's a lot of crossover between a lot of the houses. But for me, I feel like Merlin really would do anything to protect the ones that he loves. So for me,
wouldn't that make him a Gryffindor?
But see, the thing what people don't understand is that, like, a lot of times is that Gryffindor and Slytherin are very, very similar.
Yeah, and the only difference is with Hufflepuff as well.
The only difference is the way that they set out for a task. So, like, a Gryffindor is going to throw themselves headfirst and damn the consequences, and a Slytherin is going to hang back, assess the situation, and be like, "All right, what makes the most sense?"
Yeah.
And which the
that for me
option.
Is Merlin.
But see, that for me is not Merlin. For me, Merlin is just like Merlin. Shit. Arthur's in danger. Just go.
Right.
But he was hiding behind trees and stuff and being like, can I use magic now? Can I get away with it? I could probably get away with it.
And Arthur, actually, if you guys want a good laugh, you should Google Oblivious Arthur meme because it's great.
Yeah, I can see the Slytherin thing. I'm not married to any one of these.
No, Merlin is the hardest one out of all of them to...
Yeah.
To sort, I think.
Yeah.
I totally agree. And with that, I think that wraps up our special for Merlin.
Just like
the show says in like four of their seasons at the end of the show, you know, Merlin will return and we will return with another special, probably. At some point, just like Arthur. you just never know when that'll be. So thank you so much for listening if you stuck with us. And of course, we do want to remind you about all of our contact information just in case you are not aware of how you can get in touch with us. For starters, you can always tweet us if you have any feedback for what we discussed today. You can find us at twitter.com/hypeablehype. That is twitter.com/hypeablehype. You can also leave rather lengthy comments for us about anything we discussed in the show notes for this episode on hypeable.com, and we will be responding to you guys on there. And if you feel so inclined, you can also follow us on Instagram. We are also Hypeable Hype on there. And other than that, I was just going to say we'll be back to our regular show schedule because we usually talk about all aspects of entertainment news, not just Merlin, this coming week. So feel free to join us for that, too, if this is the first time you're listening to us. And we hope you do.
Yeah.
Did you have anything? You had something else to add, right?
No, that was pretty much just it. It was just if you were listening to this for the first time and if you don't think we're totally crazy, then please do check out our regular show because we do talk about all kinds of fandoms that we love. And so, I think me and Pam both sneak in Merlin whenever we can, actually. So that's kind of...
We have ulterior motives. That's the Slytherin in us coming out, right?
It must be. Yeah, it must be. But yeah, and thank you so much. And thanks for keeping the fandom going and for just... you know, being amazing. And let's hope one day that the Julians, release some kind of something, you know, for us. Just anything.
Anything.
Just even, like, a line of, like, and he came back or something. Like, let's start campaigning for that.
Yeah, and then like just as a final afterthought, just if you wrote in to us and offered some discussion topics, thank you so much for doing that, because we really wanted to make sure that we incorporated the voice of the fans on this special, because Merlin is so special to everybody that's fallen in love with the show. So with that, my name is Pamela.
My name is Lena.
My name's Danya.
Oh no.
Kyle, you were late. You go last.
Yeah, that's true. Kyle was late.
I'm sorry. Gosh, darn it. I'm sorry.
God damn it, Kyle.
All right, one more.
Showed up late with the Starbucks.
Okay.
All right. Kyle, you get to go last. Okay. My name is Pamela.
I'm Selena.
Kyle, you ruined it again.
What?
Jesus Christ, we really are never going to end this.
All right, all right. Everybody be quiet. We're okay. Start over. My name is Pamela.
I'm Kyle. Sorry.
I'm Selena.
And I'm Danya.
There you go. Perfect. Perfect.
We'll see you guys next time. Thanks for hanging out with us. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I totally agree.
Hello?
Because Oh, hi.
What's this? A voice from
hi.
Beyond.
Is that is the audio like really, 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 really bad?
Yeah, are you in a car?
Yeah.
Are you looking for Arthur?
Yes.
Did you
find
him?
No.
Oh, damn it. That would have been breaking news.
I saw his sword in a stone, but I couldn't pull
That's
it out.
That's a good start.
Like little old lady, like in her little cave, like
Doma style,
like Doma style. Like people are gonna be like, mm-hmm, okay,
but Doma style.
I was thinking that.